Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Matembo, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm well, thank you very much, Pastor. How are you?
I am fine.
Lovely. So I'm sure you heard the question. Our question for today is based on the idea that many societies around the world deeply value freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, and all these civil liberties. And then it goes further as to thinking that surely we can criticize ideas openly, right? And so the question for today is, should this include the critique of religions and faiths? Your response, Pastor.
Okay, thank you so much. I think I will, as a Christian, I will have to respond in the context of my religion, Christianity. I think also I might try also to extend this to other religions, but I will speak for my religion. I would say that it is allowed in my religion to criticize what we believe. Actually, God has already given that opportunity for us from the very moment that he created human beings. He allowed for the freedom of speech, for the freedom of conscience, the freedom of choice. The fact that you are born into this world free to choose what you want, it means that you are free to criticize anything, including criticizing the beliefs that you find in this world as you grow up and start to understand that there are beliefs. You are given the opportunity to criticize them. I was looking at some of the texts in the Christian Bible, which help us to understand that God himself is inviting us to criticize or to question, let me say, to interrogate whatever that he has given us to believe in. He doesn't want us to follow him blindly, because if we follow him blindly, then there is no growth in us. We can only grow when we start to ask questions. So I want to share with you some of the few passages in the Christian Bible that allow us to interrogate the basis of our beliefs.
Okay.
Yeah. For instance, I was looking at one verse that says in which is in Micah 6, verse 3, God says, "O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me." Now, that, when you read that verse, you actually find out that God is inviting us to question him, or to find anything wrong in him. If possible, God is saying, take me to court. Put me in a box. You have someone who is the plaintiff, and I am the defendant. I am ready to answer every question that you have against me. That's one verse that God is inviting us to question him. Mm. I've seen another verse again where God says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5, God says, "What iniquity have you found in me? Or what iniquity have your fathers found in me?" In other words, God is saying, examine me.
Okay.
Tell me if there is any sin, any problem that you find in me. I'm ready to be examined. What iniquity can you find in me? Okay. So, yes, I've also gone to another verse which has told me that God is actually inviting all human beings. Isaiah 1 verse 18, God says, come, let us reason together. God wants us to have a religion of reasoning. We need to reason with him. If he has to give us evidence why we have to believe in him, we actually can put on the table everything that we think we need him to answer, and he will respond. That's reasoning together with him. There is another verse again in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, when God says, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? In other words, God is saying, judge between me and my vineyard. The vineyard that God is referring to is his people, the children of Israel. Okay. So God is asking for an external judge. who can come and judge between him and his people? Mm. And he says, what is it that I was supposed to have done for these people that I didn't do? And the floor is all ours for us to see that, did God miss something on when he's dealing with the children of Israel? Or it is the children of Israel who did not measure up to what God wanted. So God is inviting again for us to judge between him and his people. So I can see that God wants us to have an intelligent religion,
okay,
not just to follow him blindly, okay, like zombies.
Right.
Then I have one more text. That is found in John chapter 20. You remember the story of Thomas when Jesus resurrected?
Right, right.
We are told that he appeared to certain disciples,
right,
his disciples, but Thomas was not there.
Right.
And when Thomas heard from other disciples that we have seen Jesus, his words, I want to quote from John chapter 20, verse 24, it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called right. Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then Jesus was fine with that. He didn't have a problem that Thomas is failing to believe. And you know what Jesus did? He made sure that he appeared the second time,
okay,
when Thomas was present. And if you continue reading, you come to verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of, and said, peace be unto you. Verse 27, then right. said he to Thomas, reach hither my finger, thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side,
right.
and be not faithless, but believing. So Jesus Christ did not have a problem with Thomas, but he waited. For after 8 days, he reappeared again and proved to Thomas
right.
that it was him who had resurrected. So I want to say that God does not have a problem with us asking questions.
Right.
The only problem that God might have is when we close all avenues for us to know. For instance, I'll give you an example. If I would want to believe that God does not have a problem even with an atheist.
Okay.
Someone who says there is no God. As long as that person leaves a room for God to prove to him that he exists.
Okay.
The only problem comes when an atheist closes all avenues okay. that God can reach him or talk to him. For instance, I met this intelligent question that one atheist was asked. The question was, you being an atheist, how much knowledge do you think you know? The knowledge that exists in the world, how much of it do you think you know? And the atheist said that he knew about probably 60% of the knowledge that is that exists in the world.
Mm.
And then the person who was asking said, then do you think that it's possible that God might be existing in the other 40% which you don't know?
Right.
You get it?
Right.
And the atheist said, okay, if that's the case, then prove to me, maybe the 40% which I haven't known of the information in the world,
right.
that's where God exists. So we see that God does not have a problem. If an atheist says, at least I know 60%, I know 90%, God will still work with the 10%.
Right.
But if an atheist says, I know 100% of everything in the world, then that person has actually closed all avenues
okay.
for him, for God to improve his knowledge.
Right.
That's when the problem comes. You
okay.
see now.
Okay.
I hope I've answered this.
I hear you. But now we have a concept called heresy. Does heresy exist in the Bible? I'm asking this because if I'm listening to you correctly, it says though God is okay, but then again, when people ask these uncomfortable questions, it is people who call them heretics Does heresy exist in the Bible, and in what form? How, at what stage do you regard somebody to be a heretic if you're saying God is okay to being critiqued and asked questions, challenged even, to prove things? So where does this concept of heresy come from? Is it there in the Bible?
Okay. Heresy, I would say, is the advancement of teachings which someone has concluded that these teachings are correct, and you start to advance them. You actually go around teaching them. That becomes heresy. But questioning is not heresy. But the advancement of things that you have not yet proven, and you actually teach them to others, that's when heresy starts. So when you ask questions, it's not heresy. At that moment, it is not heresy yet. But when you start to advance things that you have not yet substantiated with scripture or with any authoritative source that people agree that this source is the authority,
yeah,
then you start to advance something that has not been sanctioned by the authority, then that becomes heresy.
Where is this authority? What authority are you referring to?
I'm just saying, okay, for instance, every religion has got its books or guides which they use as authority.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
yeah, you go to the Muslims. They all believe in Quran. Is
correct,
it
correct?
So if you speak against the Quran, then you are advancing heresy.
Okay,
you get it.
Yeah, and in your faith?
In my faith, we use the Bible
only.
If you question. No. Okay. Being an Adventist, I also use. I have got other books that I believe they are authoritative. For instance, I have got Spirit of Prophecy, the writings of Ellen G. White.
So,
yes.
So Adventists so, are not sola scriptura.
We are sola scriptura.
Then you can't have anything else but the scripture. Remember, sola scriptura means scripture solely. So now you're saying there's a Bible, but, and then there's other books according to you.
you see, when we say we are sola scriptura, we are simply saying that we stick to the Bible.
But you just said you've got other books, which means that's another form of heresy then, to have other scriptures.
those books are just a commentary on the Bible.
Yeah, there are many commentaries. I write commentaries myself, Fundis. But then again, you can't say the Bible and what Naye writes. So that's why I need to understand, what is your authority as far as your faith is concerned? Is it the scripture solely, sola scriptura? Or is the scripture supreme and other books come and add there, which makes it prima scriptura? Which is it?
I will still say sola scriptura.
So any other book is not authority. It's only the scripture. That's what sola scriptura means.
No. You know why? I think you would want this to be a question of another day, because you are now diverting.
This is the reason why I'm saying this. There are things that have been said, Piper, and I'm glad that you brought in the issue of the pen of inspiration. That the moment people criticize the pen of inspiration, you're regarded as a heretic in this church. The moment you criticize the spirit of prophecy, as in the pen of Ellen Gould White, you're regarded as a heretic. The moment you say she was wrong here, she was wrong there, you are regarded as heretic, which implies that with those who see it as heresy, it's not only the Bible that is supreme to them. It is the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. And that makes us no longer sola scriptura. That makes us prima scriptura. Go ahead, Mpunis.
Good. Can I also say that we are also invited to interrogate the writings of Ellen G. White. We are allowed to interrogate them.
By whom, Mpunis? Because I've seen a lot of people being castigated all over the place, some even being disfellowshipped in churches because they criticize the spirit of prophecy.
You see, they are only criticized when they make a standing, a position. When they now say, we will not believe in this, that's when they are probably put under the disciplinary actions that we do as a church. But I want to tell you, if you are asking questions about Ellen G. White, there should be people ready to answer you. If the church fails to answer you, then they've not done justice
to
you.
Right.
Yes.
So people who criticize the spirit of prophecy and are welcome.
It's allowed. It's allowed for them to criticize.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is allowed for them. They can actually write papers criticizing. Right. And I would want to tell you that there are some who write papers to defend.
Right.
As long as we can find the evidence
to
prove. Yeah. So there should not be a problem there.
Yeah, I hear you, Funisa. I hear you. I would love to be a member of your church. Because we've gone
you
to
churches. Yes.
We've gone to churches. We've been to churches where the moment you touch Mrs. White, you are gone. You are gone.
Yeah,
you are regarded
you should understand that. You should understand that they are probably the leadership might be overzealous or too zealous for nothing. The truth is that they should they should treat you as a student.
Yeah.
If you want to learn, if you open up doors to learn,
right,
they should treat you as a student.
Yeah.
Not as a heretic.
Yeah.
If we have got a belief that cannot be interrogated, then we are bound to be lost. Yeah. We end up becoming like zombies following blindly.
That's right.
We have to interrogate what we believe so that we grow.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. It's supposed to be like that. But
exactly. It's supposed to be like that.
Oh, because, all right. So, critic is welcome as long as it is positive criticism, even at that. Constructive criticism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Constructive criticism, let me say. Don't come up with a position as you are criticizing.
Right, right.
When you come up with a position, then you are closing doors to all avenues that you could be helped.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are, remain open-minded if you are critiquing anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that
we can help you.
I like that. Funisa, thank you very much. I really hope you could spread your thinking to other churches as well so that we don't find people being disciplined for how dare you speak like that about the pen of inspiration. Our holy prophet, how dare you ask questions like that?
You know, when people do that,
yes,
they are afraid to answer you.
Yeah.
When they start doing that, they actually don't have the basis. They don't have they probably don't know how to answer you.
Right,
so the best thing is to stop you from questioning.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't have answers for you.
Yeah.
You get it. But if they're competitive enough, they are supposed to allow you to ask anything.
Right.
And I believe that if it is coming from God, then it should not be... people can never come to a point whereby they say God failed to answer us.
Right,
if a religion fails to answer it's the questions posed to it, then it means it's not coming from God.
Right, right, right. Got it. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
Sure.
Appreciate your answers, Mfundisi.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you so much.
That is our pastor for today and the rest of the week. Pastor Matamba talking to us and answering your questions. If you have any questions as well, please send them through and we'll find a pastor like Pastor Matamba who's going to be answering your questions.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.